This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And greetings from Plucker's Wing Bar, 1400 Shepherd near downtown Houston. Time for another Astroline presented by Carbach Brewing Company. Robert Ford joined by Jeff Blum as we have a little radio TV crossover here. Good to see you, Jeff.
Good to see you too, Robert. How you doing, man?
I'm good. And, you know, sometimes we do these shows and they're every week, and obviously we rotate between the radio and TV broadcasters who host them. You know, some weeks it's like, man, what are we going to talk about this week?
Yeah, you're kind of struggling a little bit. And, you know, we talked when we did these interviews and we had the chance to talk. We were prepping for the show. We had no idea what we were going to talk about, but things changed a little bit.
Now, keep in mind, none of these moves have been officially announced by their respective teams. So these are all reported, haven't been officially announced. But, of course, the biggest news, George Springer, obviously, 7 years in the big leagues, all with the Houston Astros and Astros' first-round pick, signing with the Toronto Blue Jays, 6 years, $150 million deal. That's all, again, reported. The Blue Jays have not announced that. I think a lot of Astros fans, you're realistic. You kind of thought this day might come where George Springer was no longer in an Astros uniform. But, man, he's meant so much to this franchise.
It has been – he really has. And, you know, I've heard it equated to losing your first love.
Yeah.
I've heard it, having your kid graduate from high school and move on to college and move out of the house. but I feel that way, and you and I both started in 2013, so we kind of had a chance to hear about George when he was going for the 40-40 type seasons down in Triple-A, and then we got a chance to see him in 2014. So we really got to see George develop not only as a player, but we got to know him a little bit better as a person. And I think it's really the personality and that joy that we are going to probably miss the most. But, oh, yeah, he was pretty darn good on the field.
He was pretty darn good. And I also think, too, I mean, you know, think back to 2014 when Springer came up. And even think back to 2013, you know, we were both there. Astros lost 111 games. And we talked a lot about the minor leagues on both radio and TV that year because, I mean, hey, when you're losing 111 games at the big league level, that's what you're looking toward.
Hey, look over here. Look at this. Don't look at what's on the field.
So we were talking about Springer and many others all throughout that 2013 season. And when George Springer got to the big leagues in April of 2014, that seemed like that was like the beginning. It was like, okay, now it seems like the wheels are in motion, starting to go from just stripping everything down to building things back up again.
Yeah, because you hear a lot nowadays, you know, with the process and Jim Crane buying the team, Jeff Luhnow becoming the GM, how important the draft became was really interesting to me, being an ex-player and having them understand, you know, what it meant to draft a guy and develop him and get him to the big leagues. But they had a lot of number one picks that turned out to be superstars to add to what George Springer was being given. But I just remember, you know, we were a little bit critical about George, you know, oh my gosh, the swing and misses, he's missing pitches down the middle. But my gosh, when he connected, we were like, if he was able to hone that in and realize his potential, it was going to be incredible what he was able to do. And we got to see it in the regular season, and then we got to see it in the postseason when everybody kind of came together in that 2017 season and just went bonkers.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Astros had some vacancies in the outfield to fill, in part because Springer was a free agent. They bring Uncle Mike back, though.
At least,
that's reported. Michael Brantley.
How did you feel when, you know, the Springer news comes out and you're like, oh, that's a gut punch.
Yeah.
And then you started to hear the rumors, and this is probably something we both feared, is knowing how close Uncle Mike and Springer were, you know, changing tires, hitting bombs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what was your initial reaction when you were like, oh, that means Brantley's going to go? I mean, it almost hit just as hard.
And then remember yesterday, so Springer, the Springer news came out 2 days ago. Then yesterday, report in the morning, it was initially just in Toronto, and then it got picked up by Ken Rosenthal and others that Michael Brantley had agreed to a deal with the Blue Jays. And then the Blue Jays released a statement saying, we haven't agreed to anything. Reporters walked that back, and then, He's coming back to the Astros.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was
a crazy day.
That was a crazy day. It was kind of exciting. There hasn't been much excitement as far as baseball is concerned this offseason because so much speculation is out there. But now we're starting to see things unfold a little bit. And Springer leaving hurt, but knowing that Uncle Mike is coming back really says a lot about the personality and what he feels about Houston and how comfortable he feels in this ballpark. Because I was thinking, if you lose two outfielders, two-thirds of your outfield, what do you do now? Those are some big holes to fill. And we all love Michael's bat, but he's a pretty good left fielder.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. Certainly is. And it's good to have him back and a really good influence in the clubhouse as well. And also, Astros reportedly bringing back one of your former teammates, Jason Castro.
Castro the Astro,
of course, a former Astros first-round pick as well. And he was with the Angels and Padres last year. Had been with the Twins before that since he was last in an Astros uniform. But reportedly coming back to the Astros on a one-year deal. And looks like he would back up Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, and I actually think it's an interesting sign just because, you know, it's a little bit later in his career. He's coming back to someplace where he's comfortable. He knows how to get around town. And he knows that he actually knows a lot of this clubhouse from the time he was here previously. Mm-hmm. But speaking as a guy who left and came back, it's a very good feeling coming back to a clubhouse where you know guys, you're comfortable with the city, and you know they're going to be reasonably successful in the American League West. But at the same time, working with Martin Maldonado, who is a right-handed hitter, mm-hmm. Castro, a left-handed hitter, you can almost see this turning into a kind of a platoon situation
sure.
for Dusty Baker.
Absolutely. Curious to see how that will all be employed and looking forward to all these moves becoming official as well.
Seriously.
Well, we have plenty for you on this Astro line tonight. Is coming up in a little bit. You'll hear from Astros reliever Joe Smith. Joe Smith did not pitch in 2020. He talks about that. And then a little later we'll hear from Carlos Correa, Astros shortstop. Of course, had the biggest hit of the Astros postseason last year. So all that's coming up on Astroline. Don't forget the 2021 season is just around the corner, and you won't want to miss a minute of the action. Enjoy some of the best seats and exclusive benefits throughout the season with Astros season tickets. Visit astros.com/ticket plans or call 1-877-9-ASTROS to learn more. Astroline presented by Carbach Brewing Company, live from Plucker's Wing Bar at 1400 Shepherd, will continue after this on the Houston Astros Radio Network.
Baseball season, it comes and goes, but Crawford Bach just flows and flows. It's the Bach to drink any time of year. You don't need a reason because it's a dang good beer. You can rock the Bach at a music festival or rodeo, Shakespeare in the Park or Lowrider Car Show. It's the Bach for bonfires and happy hour, South Padre, even your next baby shower. So share a Crawford Bach anytime with your favorite gals and bros. And when baseball season comes back, let's go Stros!
Discover the Palm Beaches. Experience legendary hospitality in Florida's Gulf capital with special rates at the area's best resorts. Miles of uncrowded beaches stretch from Jupiter to Boca Raton. Small cities and beach towns are waiting for you to explore. More than 160 sun-soaked golf courses are inviting you to play. Start planning your next trip at thepalmbeaches.com.
And welcome back to Astroline, presented by Carbach Brewing Company, coming to you live from Plucker's Wing Bar at 1400 Shepherd. Robert Ford joined by Jeff Blum. And, Jeff, earlier this week we got a chance to catch up with Astros reliever Joe Smith. Gone but not forgotten in 2020, that's for sure. And certainly looking forward to seeing him back in 2021. And you'll hear it in this interview, but certainly sounds like Joe is just champing at the bit to get back out there and get back on the mound.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. You know, between the injury he had and then dealing with the family issues he had, I'm sure it was the timing couldn't have been better for him to be able to take that year off. But, yeah, we're excited to see him back too.
Certainly excited to see Joe Smith coming back. And also make sure you come and see Minute Maid Park and get a behind-the-scenes look at the ins and outs of the stadium with a ballpark tour. From the dugout and press box to the warning track and manual scoreboard, we guarantee you've never seen Minute Maid Park like this. Book your tour today at astros.com/tours. So we asked Joe Smith what he was doing to get ready for spring training in the upcoming season.
Right now we just got down to Florida 2 days ago. So you know, we were up in Ohio and it started getting a little too cold for me. And, you know, with as much time as I had off and stuff, I was really looking forward to kind of getting down here, getting the warm weather and just, you know, being able to move around. And then hopefully we'll see what happens. Hopefully the spring training facility is supposed to be opening up here in a week or two to be able to, you know, get in there early and just kind of get back in the flow.
You opted not to pitch this year with everything that was going on. And I know you had to deal with your mom's health issues, Lee, who passed away in August. If you could just kind of go through what like led to your decision not to play last year and kind of the timetable for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of it was centered around my mom and her health. It got, you know, right about a week before we were getting ready to leave to go down to the, you know, the spring training 2.0 or whatever you want to call it. I got a call that things just weren't going well. And, you know, at that point I let everybody, you know, who I knew, Mr. Crane or my agent, everybody that like, hey man, I don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, we ended up going down to Houston for like 4 or 5 days. And I mean, I said it before, like, I mean, I was there physically, but mentally, like I was just everything back home with my mom. And just because I think the drawn out process that this had, you know, been with her in this fight over Huntington's disease, it was really taking a toll. I mean, I just felt like I needed to be home. So when I was home and then she ended up, you know, for that month, and then she ended up passing in early August. And, you know, I think if you ever had a loved one, especially somebody as close to you as a parent pass, you know, it takes a minute, you know, for the family, the grieving process, you know, trying to help out where you can with just everything that involves with somebody passing. And I think by the time I was like truly almost ready to come back, it was about the beginning of September. And it was just, you know, where I felt comfortable enough where I was like, okay, I think I can try to make this happen. But, you know, sitting down, looking at the time frame, what it would take, what, you know, to get back, it just wasn't going to work out, man. It was just, you know, I'm just 2020. I'm glad it's gone. So hopefully, you know, I'm looking forward to this year and hopefully getting some normalcy back.
Yeah, good for you for opting out and taking the opportunity to be with your family. And that might be the blessing in disguise, as you did have the time to spend with your family. But also, we kind of joked a little bit before we got on here about in baseball land, you might be a little bit older than some of the other guys. What benefits do you think you gained by taking the year 2020 off and getting ready for 2021?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I know the answer to that just yet. I know I feel good, man. I feel refreshed. I feel mentally refreshed. You know, I think, you know, over this past year, I think, you know, everybody, not just the baseball players, but, you know, had that mental weight of what's to come, what's going to happen, you know. And, you know, baseball, that 162, it's a grind. And I'm not going to lie, you know, the past couple of years with this group we have in Houston have been so fun, you know, going to the World Series, going to the ALCS, like winning. But with that, you know, you have shortened off seasons, it's quick turnarounds, and you got to get your body ready to go. And it is a grind. And, you know, having that last summer to sit back, kind of put everything in perspective, you know, from the family side, from the baseball side, heck, even my wife told me, she goes, okay, now I know how you're going to be in retirement. You can go play as long as you want. And I'm like, oh, that's great. I mean, I'm 36, going to be 37. So I'm finally glad I got that. Okay. To go. Like, I don't know how much longer it'll be, but, no, I'm ready to get back, man. I'm ready to play baseball. I really miss it. I miss the guys. I miss how much fun we had over the past few years. And I'm excited about it again. And hopefully, you know, I know it'll be a little bit different to what I'm used to. I know everybody went through it already this last year with the protocols and such. So I'm just hoping to get out there and have some fun.
Yeah, you had a chance to sit back like us and watch the Astros of 2020 go out there. And I think they kind of surprised all of us once they got into the postseason. Do me a favor, break down the 2020 season that you saw and what you anticipate in 2021.
Well, I was fired up, man. We had some young guys come up, you know, especially like Christian Javier, Paredes. We had a heck of a lot of other guys step up too. And fill in different spots. Brooks Raley come in and Blake Taylor. I know I'm talking about the pen a lot, but that's the most of the
guys.
Yeah. But I was excited to see it. They got their opportunity, and you know, I would say so many of them, like you said, exceeded the fact, like what we expected of them, right? And you know, to see, I loved watching Paredes pitch. The energy that he takes out there on the mound. And I was also eager to see, you know, there were a couple of times where he had that rough one, and I wanted to see if that same energy came back the next outing out. You know, he didn't let it affect him. Like, he kept his time. It looked to me I was far away, but it looked to me as he kept his confidence. He was just loving every minute of being out there. And I'm excited to sit with those guys, you know, the new guys that I don't know, and the young guy Paredes, who I've only seen through like rehab assignments and stuff, like just that energy. It seems like they had a lot of fun. I mean, you know, that group's always had fun, right? No matter what. So them watching them, especially in that postseason, I mean, we always talk about how it's not a light switch, but they flipped something on. You know, it was like, hey, watch out. You know, these boys, they got into the playoffs like they wanted to. And, you know, the regular season looked to be a grind and everybody kind of figuring out, and it really messed with their routines and stuff. But it was awesome to watch them play in the postseason, man. And that's when it hurt me the most, I think, not being there. You know, like watching that grind and just being with them and seeing how much fun they were having and coming one game away from another World Series appearance, man. What a tribute to that team, you know, missing certain guys like Urquidy and Yordan Alvarez and Verlander and Osuna. Man, I mean, what a team. It was unbelievable. It makes me really excited for this year.
I mean, that was a great prelude, and we're hoping it doesn't happen soon, but a great prelude for your retirement if you do want to get in the commentating. So that was that really was a test to see if you could do this for a living.
My wife does that.
That might have backfired on me.
Yeah. How closely were you paying attention to the 2020 Astros? Were you trying to keep up with every game? Were you texting guys regularly, talking to guys? How did that go for you?
I paid attention. I watched, you know, if something happened where game time was something where we had to do, you know, in terms of family stuff, I'd be watching the box scores or listening to you guys on the radio and just paying attention to the games and paying attention to what guys were doing and stuff like that. But as far as the texting guys, I try to stay out of it. I had a loose understanding of what the protocols were going to be. And you add that on top of the everyday grind and everything that was going on. I didn't want to, you know, if somebody reached out to me, I would talk to them and goof around a little bit. We had some fun. And every once in a while, I'd get a FaceTime, you know, from actually quite a number of the guys. So that was always fun to just know that they were thinking about me. And you know what I mean? Because I really wanted to be there. But ultimately, I think I made the right decision, in real life. But I tried to just stay out of the way, man, and let them do their thing. You know, they were in the moment, and no matter, you know, some guys were grinding more than others. And it was just trying to be positive, maybe a text of encouragement to a couple of the guys, just, you know, saying we're still watching, you're the man, keep going, you know, stuff like that. But I tried to stay out of it.
Your approach to how you handled being in contact with guys who were playing, was a part of that just kind of informed by having, you know, being a player and knowing what works for you and what doesn't work for you? Because, and I mean, Blummer probably knows more about this, because I have to imagine there are probably times when, you know, certain people text you certain things during the season and you might be thinking, man, this is the last thing I need right now.
Yeah, when it's like, oh, explain to me this, explain to me that. Like, I don't want to be, you know, I don't need any explanations. Like, I mean, obviously, Michael Brantley and I have been together since, 2009 in Cleveland. So we talk a lot. But, you know, if he wants to bring something up or to me, or if I had a question, I'd probably call him. He's probably the guy I feel most comfortable calling in that clubhouse. But everybody else, man, you know, whether it was, I don't know, Breggy or Tuve or whoever, Lance, just, you know, send him a quick text. Like, it was great to see Lance McCullers back on the mound again, man, and competing. That dude. He's worked so hard to get back out there and, you know, pitching for us in the ALCS with a blown out UCL a couple years ago and stuff. It's just like, you know, or Tuve or Breggy that were kind of struggling for a little bit, you know, just sending them texts, like knowing, just, you know, give them good pay, throwing good vibes your way, you know, keep going, keep grinding. You're still the best. And just little things like that. But, you know, I didn't want to, like I said, you try to get into too much and it just becomes more of a burden than anything, I think, as a player trying to, because they got to communicate with enough people, you know?
They do. And Joe, you've had a very long career, and off seasons usually involve a lot of getting ready for the next season. But now it's a little bit different too. You might be focusing a little bit on Hall of Fame votes because you've played against some of these contemporaries that are going into the big leagues now. And I know you've got a history with one of the guys that's kind of interesting and has Astros history is Billy Wagner. You were with him in what, 08, 09?
07, 08.
07-08. So, would you vote for Billy Wagner? And I need a good Billy Wagner story if you've got one.
I think Billy Wagner should be in. What an impressive individual, man. He broke his arm. Right arm. Started throwing left-handed. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like in high school. I believe it was when he was like seven. So, but I mean, still, that's impressive. But, Billy rode me really, really, really hard when I was
somehow
young.
That doesn't and shock me.
Yeah. Right. So, and I was like, all right. I mean, he was all over me, but on the same hand, if there was anything I had a question about, and especially when it related to pitching, learning how to pitch in the big leagues, he was always there to answer it. And he always had a good response, whether it was, hey, you had a couple of days off. Like, hey, why are you throwing? Why are you throwing like a 15 pitch bullpen? Off the mound. Like, I don't really understand that. And then he would throw it in tennis shoes, which was more odd to me. And I'm like, what are you doing? What if you slip? And he was explaining to me basically the control and all. He's like, you're slipping. You're going too fast. We're working on our tempo. We're working on nice and easy down the slope, sticking the landing, everything in sync. Okay. As much as things, everybody gets on you for walking a guy. And I swear, I can't remember which game it was. Billy literally walked somebody on like four straight pitches, not even close, just take it to first. And I think we had a one or two run lead. And I was like, hey, what happened there? And he goes, that guy sees me pretty well. I go, he goes, the guy on deck, he's like, I own him. So I'm just going to get rid of him and I'm going to fit. And I'm like, I mean, you throw a hunch from the left side with a wipeout slider. Like, who owns you, But listen to him talk. He had the ability to foresee, not only pay attention to the guy you're facing in the box, but understand who's coming behind him. And talking to guys like him, quite a notably other, Aaron Seeley and guys like Tom Glavine and Pedro and El Duque, like getting the opportunity to come up as a young kid and being with these guys and understanding game management or much less inning management, now I see a lot of young kids coming up in the league and they have unbelievable stuff and they're punching everybody out, but it's a 7-run ball game and they're going 3-2 and throwing 3-2 bangers and everything's about strikeouts per nine. And it's like, hey man, that's great. I get it. You need your strikeouts per nine up to get paid supposedly, but why don't we work on, game management and understanding how to control an inning, get out of there. Let's limit the damage. And then, when you still got to get two strikes on a guy before you punch him out. Like, let's figure this out. You know what I mean? So, I mean, just having him there though, as a voice of reason and somebody I grew up watching. I mean, I remember the Astros bullpen when it was Octavio Dotel, Brad Lidge, Billy Wagner, and I always said, it was funny. I was like, I always want, dude, Octavio Dotel. Like, I want to throw like that. That guy is unbelievable.
He had whip.
Yeah. I mean, I'm close, but he threw a hunch. Now I throw 86. So, there's a bit of a difference.
Well, great stuff, Joe Smith, Astros reliever. Glad you took care of everything last year with your family. And really looking forward to seeing you pitch in the big leagues in 2021. Glad you're going to be back.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
Joe Smith can't wait for the 2021 season to commence. Neither can we. And good to hear from Joe, keeping us up to date with what he's been going through and what he's been working on. Coming up next, we'll hear from Astros shortstop Carlos Correa and his offseason and also what he's doing to get ready for 2021. We'll continue with Astroline presented by Carbog Brewing Company live from Plucker's Wing Bar on 1400 Shepherd right after this on the Houston Astros Radio Network.
Baseball season, it comes and goes, but Crawford Bock just flows and flows. It's the Bock to drink any time of year. You don't need a reason, because it's a dang good beer. You can rock the Bock at a music festival or rodeo, Shakespeare in the Park or Lowrider Car Show. It's the Bock for bonfires and happy hour, South Padre, even your next baby shower. So share a Crawford Bock anytime with your favorite gals and bros. And when baseball season comes back, let's go Stros!
Discover the Palm Beaches. Experience legendary hospitality in Florida's Gulf capital with special rates at the area's best resorts. Miles of uncrowded beaches stretch from Jupiter to Boca Raton. Small cities and beach towns are waiting for you to explore. More than 160 sun-soaked golf courses are inviting you to play. Start planning your next trip at thepalmbeaches.com.
And welcome back to Astroline, presented by Carbach Brewing Company, coming to you live from Plucker's Wing Bar, 1400 Shepherd, near downtown Houston. Join us every Thursday during the offseason for Astroline, presented by Carbach Brewing Company. Robert Ford and Jeff Blum here once again, and we're going to hear from Carlos Correa. We got a chance to talk with him a few days ago, Blummer, and we talked about this a little bit in the interview, but we really got to see Carlos Correa almost like mature into a leader in front of our very eyes, especially in the postseason, and also obviously with comments he made with things other players said about the sign stealing and all that. But we saw a different side of Carlos Correa this year, I thought.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun sitting at home, because for so long, you know, it almost being the anniversary of when all that news came out, and everybody just piled on the Astros. But there was one guy in that clubhouse who said, I'm not going to take it anymore, and it was Carlos Correa, stepped up and I think protected a lot of the guys in the clubhouse by becoming that vocal leader. And for me, being an ex-player, I completely appreciated it. I mean, it's a bold strategy, and I think it paid off for him and kind of added another level to how he can contribute to this ball club.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're going to do that, you have to back it up. What was it he said? If you don't have facts, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, but yeah, Carlos Correa joining us on Astroline, presented by Carbach Brewing Company, and we asked him about his offseason during this pandemic.
You know, with COVID and everything, I've just been home and going to the gym to work out, just getting ready for the season. I haven't done much. I haven't traveled or anything. I've stayed here in Houston the whole time, and just, you know, with the family here and the dogs.
How tough has it been for you? You know, you mentioned you've been in Houston the whole time, and obviously, you know, from Puerto Rico, I know typically you spend quite a bit of time down there and go back and forth between Puerto Rico and Houston. How tough has it been for you not to be able to do that like in years past?
Yeah, it's been really tough, because I always love to go back to my hometown and be able to spend time with the rest of my family over there. Right now, my grandpa's sick, so I haven't been able to see him, because, you know, that would take quarantining before when I get there, and then quarantining on the way back. And I don't want to just go out there and expose him to whatever, you know, I might bring from the plane or whatever I'm at. So I've been just staying here in Houston, man, and I've been FaceTiming them all the time and talking to them. So it's obviously tough not to see them and be able to spend time with them and hug them and, you know, tell them you love them in person.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Hopefully you do get the time to see family and friends, and we get to go out there and actually see fans in the stands. And I want to go back to 2020 and just ask you, because I've had a chance to talk to Alex Bregman, even Jake Mariznick, and some of the other guys, and they really said that not having fans in the stadium created a little bit of an issue, and you guys missed that. Talk about what it's like being in a stadium, playing a game for real, and not having those fans out there.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that this year. I hope we can get fans in there, because, you know, the energy they bring, it's contagious. And you go out there and you perform and you want to hit a home run and hear the loud noise from the crowd, or when they get quiet on the road. You know, we miss all that. And we miss that adrenaline that you get when the fans are in there. It almost felt like every game up to until the playoffs, it was like a spring training game. And then when we got to the playoffs, then, you know, it's do or die. You go home if you lose. So, you know, it was time to turn it up a little more. But during the regular season, it was tough to stay focused out there with the quiet crowd.
Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit, too, about what you just brought up about the playoffs. Because during the regular season, you guys kind of – it looked like you were fighting your way to get into the playoffs, and eventually you get in. And then you guys flipped that switch, completely turned things around, and became the Houston Astros that we all know and love. What exactly happened in the postseason for you guys?
Well, you know, I think the experience kicked in. And the fact that, you know, we've been to the ALCS 3 years in a row prior to this year, I think that helped us. And once we got to the playoffs, we knew what it takes to win games in the playoffs. And we got to Minnesota. We had a little meeting, and it was time to go. And we all got on the same page. We went out there, and we went to battle, and we were able to be successful. You know, we wish we would have made it to the World Series and eventually won. But I'm really proud of what we accomplished. A lot of people had us, you know, losing in the first round. And we got all the way to Game 7 against the Rays, even though we were down 0-3. I mean, it was insane. It was a great season. And, you know, I tell this to a lot of people, and I had more fun with this team, like playing the way we play this offseason, like when you go out there on the field and just have fun, than we did in 2017 when we won the World Series. That was so much fun, and we had the fans there. But the fact that we have so many rookies in this team, the fact that we barely made the playoffs, and we were able to just flip that switch and go out there and compete against all odds, I mean, that was different.
The fact that you guys, because of all the protocols and everything, basically you guys just had each other, like on the road, you weren't really supposed to be out doing things. So do you think that added to the closeness as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, when we're at the hotel, we're not even allowed to be in each other's rooms. So we'll show up to the ballpark early and spend even extra time together. And, you know, that brought us together, especially during the playoffs. We were at the ballpark so early, ready to work, ready to go out there to the cage and feel sexy, like I always say, in order to, you know, go to the game and have it translate in the game and be able to perform for your team.
So, Carlos, last 2 years in the ALCS, you have hit walk-off homers. You hit one game 2 in 2019 against the Yankees in extra innings, and, of course, game 5 2020 against Tampa Bay in the bottom of the ninth inning. I mean, I'd have to imagine, can you like just kind of compare those two? Because, you know, we're talking about the lack of fans and everything. And I remember how bonkers Minute Maid Park was after you homered to win game 2 in 2019. What do you kind of remember? And can you compare those two moments? And just, I mean, they were similar in some ways, but different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. They're very similar, but completely different. I mean, having the fans at Minute Maid for game 2 against the Yankees, you know, that was crazy. And that was such a special moment because I had, you know, one of my kids that we work in the foundation, and I promised him a home run. And when I hit that one, that was such a special homer because of both reasons, because I promised him and because, you know, it tied the series 1-1. And then against Tampa, man, you know, coming back from that deficit, you know, we were not out. We had a meeting. We said, hey, we're down 3 games. We got to keep battling. We know we have the team to win. We have some bad luck in the first couple of games. Let's go out there. And we went out there, man, and that homer was special, be able to get the series 3-2. But, man, I missed the fans on that one. It would have been really loud. Game 5 at yep. Minute Maid, that would have been if it was a normal season. So I can only imagine how crazy it would have been.
Yeah, that would have been a lot of fun, and it would have been crazy. And I think what you kind of created, too, in your time with Houston is actually some leadership. But in the past, we've seen it more as, you know, on the field with your actions and how you play. But we're a year removed from all the drama that happened last January, and we saw a side of Carlos Correa that really not many of us have seen. Can you kind of take us back there and tell us where your mindset was at and what created this monster that we even enjoyed even more watching come out and being vocal in trying to help out your teammates?
You know, I just care about my people. I love my teammates. I love our organization. I love the Houston Astros. And I will do whatever it takes to represent my team, my organization, my family the right way. And there were a couple of things that didn't sit well with me, and I had to be vocal about it. And I could just sit on the sidelines and stay quiet. So, you know, I had to defend my teammates. I had to defend, you know, a lot of us out there. And, you know, when I decided to speak, it was because, you know, Altuve is one of my best friends in the world. And I love that guy to death. And I knew he would not say anything. So I had to say something about him because, you know, the MVP he won, I felt it was legit. And he's the most honorable man you can ever meet. So I had to be vocal about it, man. I had to defend my teammate because I knew, you know, nobody was doing it.
And I think I speak for most Astro fans in saying that we do appreciate the fact that you did step up and say that. And it just added another layer to what you're doing as an Astro. Give us an idea of what you're focusing on this offseason heading into the 2021 season, because it's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, so I've been working a lot on the same, pretty much the same stuff I worked for 2020. You know, getting my body in the right shape, for me to go out there and play every single game. Last year, I was the Astro that played the most games. I was healthy, you know, the whole year. I was feeling great. So I want to do this. I want to do that the same, but with 162 games. You know, I was 60 games, so I want to be able to show that I can now go 162 games. I'm perfectly healthy. I'm ready to go. And with my swing, what I found in the playoffs, I want that to translate to this season. I know the feeling. I know what I was doing. So I've been working on it. I've been feeling really good. So I'm looking forward to a big start. You know, I usually start really slow. So I'm looking forward to a big start this year because I feel like I found my stroke and I feel like I'm going to have the best season of my career this year.
You know, you mentioned your swing. And if I remember correctly, that last series of the regular season in Arlington with hitting coach Alex Cintron, you were able to unlock something. If I remember correctly, it involved looking back at video of your swing when you first got to the big leagues. If you could just kind of take us back through that and in the playoffs compared to the regular season in that regard.
Yeah. So in the regular season, I was having a little trouble finding that rhythm, that feel that you get during batting practice that can translate to the game perfectly. And then in that series against Arlington, you know, we're looking back at videos from 2015 when I broke into the league. And we found some things that I wasn't doing anymore. And we started working on it. I had a day off in that series against Arlington. I hit all day with Cintron. And I was able to find it. It was feeling good. It was feeling natural. Then I won the next game, and I hit a home run. And I was like, whoa, like, I can really feel it in the game now. And then I went to Minnesota. I kept working on it on the day off. Then worked on it before the game. Felt really good. I think I have two or three walks again. Then the next game, I hit a homer. And at that point, I knew that was it right there. That was the feeling. That was routine that worked for me. And from then, I carried that on throughout the whole playoffs. And, you know, against Oakland, it was great. Against Tampa, who has one of the best pitching staff in the game, it was great. So, you know, I want to be able to carry that into next year and have a strong start.
Yeah, talking about next year, this 2021 season, obviously, it's your last year before you can become a free agent. You're going through arbitration right now, which I know can be a really difficult process for any player. Does it help you a little bit that you went through this arbitration before and you had that hearing in 2019? Does that help you in terms of just thinking about how things are going to go going into the 2021 season for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It helps. But the most important thing is to understand that this is a business and you got to leave your feelings out of it. You got to understand that, you know, teams are going to try to build the best team possible and try to spend the less amount of money. That's what business means. You know, you want to be able to profit and still have a solid team. So I understand that. So I leave feelings outside of it. I know arbitration is a process that happens to a lot of people. And, you know, I love this organization. I love the Astros. I would love to be an Astro for life. So hopefully they're on the same side as I am. You know what I mean? If they're on the same side, I would love to be an Astro for the rest of my life. This is where I got drafted. This is where I played. This is where I've developed as a player. This is where I've grown as a man. And nothing will make me happier than to represent this organization and be a franchise player. But, you know, all those feelings are, I set them aside. I know they care about me. I know they want me in this organization. But at the end of the day, you got to negotiate and got to do what's right for you. And they got to do what they think is right for them. But at the end of the day, you know, I hope we can both get on the same page and keep moving forward.
You're exactly right. And, you know, fans do need to understand that earning window for ball players is really small. So you got to maximize, especially when you got a talent like yours, Carlos. Last season had all kinds of issues. We had spring training and then we had summer camp 2.0 or whatever they called it. Can you talk to a little bit to the fans and let them know how important a full spring training would mean to you guys this season?
Oh, yeah. Full spring training will mean that we'll get the right preparation. You know, this summer camp that we had, we put in good work, but at the same time, we're not facing other teams. We're not facing enough pitching. It was too quick of a turnaround. That's why you saw so many injuries on the pitchers and stuff. So getting a full spring training will be great, especially for the pitchers, but also for us hitters. We get to get our timing down and we get to go out there the first game of the regular season and feel good about it.
All right. I got to ask you something. This offseason, I had a chance to listen to a couple of your podcasts, The Walkout with Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers Jr. I know this probably spawned from Clubhouse conversations, but tell us a little bit about why the podcast started and what you enjoy most about being in that podcast world.
The podcast started because Lance and I, ever since we got drafted in 2012, we've been watching fights together. I mean, we're fight fans. I grew up watching fights since I was 5 years old. I've been watching every Saturday. I watch every fight with my dad. So I'm a huge fan of the sport, and so is he. So we figured during the quarantine, we said, oh, like, we got nothing to do right now. We're working out and going home. It's kind of boring. We watch every single show. Let's start a podcast and talk about, you know, MMA. And, you know, that's how the idea came up. We bought the equipment and we signed to the podcast. A lot of people signed to love it. And right now we signed a deal with SiriusXM. So now our podcast is on SiriusXM. Yeah, so we're very happy about that. The UFC has acknowledged our podcast. Dana White has seen it. All the guys up there have seen it. We had great hosts. We had champions on the podcast. So it's been awesome, man. We've enjoyed every single second of it. And we're not doing it because of money. We're doing it because we're passionate about it, just like you guys are as passionate about baseball. We're as passionate about MMA and the fight game. So we just enjoy doing it. Actually, today I got to go record with him for the Conor McGregor fight.
Big one coming up.
He's really hyped about that. So, you know, we will have a new episode coming out soon.
Before awesome. before we let you go, Carlos, who do you have a favorite fighter now, and who was your favorite fighter to watch growing up?
Oof. So I'll go with growing up, my favorite fighter to watch. When I was 5, the guy that got me into boxing was Felix Tito Trinidad.
Oh, yeah.
Champion.
Great fighter.
From Puerto Rico. Yeah, mm-hmm. The whole little town that I lived in, we'll get together to watch his fights, and that's how my passion grew. And then Pretty Boy Floyd, not Money Mae. Pretty Boy Floyd came in fighting Corrales in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I fell in love with his style. And now I like Habib. I like Conor, obviously. I like all these guys, Israel Adesanya, Kamaru Usman. There's a lot of guys out there in the UFC that have so much potential to be the greatest of all times. And in boxing, Canelo's my guy right now. I love the way he goes about his business.
That was Carlos Correa, Astros shortstop, talking with us earlier and talking about how he wants to be an Astro for life. How about that? And certainly hope that Carlos Correa is in an Astros uniform for a long time to come, especially if he continues to play the way he's been playing. Hey, join the Astros Virtual Buddies Club today. For $25, we'll ship a buddy's backpack, socks, hat, and lanyard right to your door. Virtual Buddies will also have the opportunity to be selected for exclusive virtual experiences that are continuing throughout the offseason. Visit astros.com/buddies for more information. Back one final time on Astroline, presented by Carbach Brewing Company from Plucker's Wing Bar on 1400 Shepherd, right after this on the Houston Astros Radio Network.
Baseball season, it comes and goes, but Crawford Bach just flows and flows. It's the Bach to drink any time of year. You don't need a reason, because it's a dang good beer. You can rock the Bach at a music festival or rodeo, Shakespeare in the Park, or Lowrider Car Show. It's the Bach for bonfires and happy hour, South Padre, even your next baby shower. So share a Crawford Bach anytime with your favorite gals and bros. And when baseball season comes back, let's go Stros!
Discover the Palm Beaches. Experience legendary hospitality in Florida's Gulf capital with special rates at the area's best resorts. Miles of uncrowded beaches stretch from Jupiter to Boca Raton. Small cities and beach towns are waiting for you to explore. More than 160 sun-soaked golf courses are inviting you to play. Start planning your next trip at thepalmbeaches.com.
And welcome back to Astroline, presented by Carbach Brewing Company, coming to you live from Plucker's Wing Bar at 1400 Shepherd. Hope you can join us next Thursday for our next show. It'll be from 6 to 7 p.m. here at Plucker's Wing Bar. Come on out. I believe that one is Todd Callis and Steve Sparks will be the host for that. Guest to be announced. Just had that confirmed from producer, engineer extraordinaire Matt Bolts. Right now, Robert Ford joined by Jeff Blum, and, you know, for much of the offseason, a lot of Astros fans were like, come on, James Glick, what are you doing? Let's make a move. Well, now there's just been a flurry between, you know, we're talking about Brantley and Jason Castro coming back as well, and obviously Springer getting signed by the Blue Jays. Of course, all of this is reported. Nothing is official, has been confirmed by any of the teams yet. But and it seems like the hot stove is starting to heat up throughout baseball right now.
Yeah, I hope it is, and I really hope it's because they're actually planning on playing a 162-game season. You know, we are getting close to spring training, and I think maybe the realization that spring is actually going to happen. You know, I saw Kevin Biggio a couple weeks ago, and he said, yeah, we're reporting the end of February. So there's actually some finality and some, you know, certainty maybe in the fact that they are going to be in spring and play 162 games. And maybe that, you know, forces general managers and owners to go out there and say, okay, we need to make some moves and put some guys in place so that when we do show up, we can get the right amount of practice in. Because we heard how important it is to guys like Carlos Correa to go mm-hmm. out there, make sure they have a full spring training and are ready to come out of the gates firing on hopefully early April or late March.
Yeah, that was one of the things. And like you said, Carlos Correa talked about this a little bit. A little while ago, and I don't think, and I know you really understand this having played for as long as you did, but I don't think people really understand the impact of having spring training shut down, then nothing for few months, and then it was what, maybe about a few days before guys were supposed to report that it was official that there was a deal in place for summer camp, and then that was only a few weeks. I mean, that really takes a toll, and I think that's a big reason why we saw so many injuries.
No, I completely agree. The uncertainty of what you're doing when you come back, and it's one thing to leave, and you know, during the offseason, the guys have the resources, the gyms, the fields, to be able to go out there and work. What we saw in between spring training and summer camp was the fact that they didn't have an opportunity to do anything.
Right.
They didn't have access to the gyms. They were shut down. If they had a couple of guys to work out with, they had to time it where they were working out, where they weren't near anybody. You know, I still have visions of Enoli Paredes doing squats with, you know, a 2x4 and cinder blocks. You know, so it's those guys that really went above and beyond, you know, or Rosarena doing 1,000 push-ups or whatever he was doing, and, you know, how that affected him. And it was really on each guy individually to go out there and do it. But nothing will ever replace a solid, strong spring training.
Nothing will. And, you know, it sounds like you said, it's looking more and more like spring training will start on time. There's been some question about that, and obviously that could still change.
Yep.
And it's always tough because you don't know. You don't. A lot of this is out of baseball's control, too.
True. Very true. Yeah, well, I mean, well, you know, we just had the inauguration. How is that going to affect everything moving forward? And then you do have to get the two entities, and we know how rough it's been recently between ownership and players in order to get something settled down where they can go play under those circumstances. So there will be some conversations, but hopefully the energy is pushing towards playing baseball. Please, dear God, let's play some baseball.
Absolutely. Well, good seeing you, Blummer.
Good being thanks here with you, man. Good seeing you, too, dude. It's been a while.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Joe Smith and Carlos Correa as well. Also, thanks to our studio producer, Bob Elliott, and our producer-engineer, Matt Bolts, here on site. Next Astro Line, presented by Carbide Brewing Company, will be next Thursday starting at 6 p.m. right back here at Pluckers on 1400 Shepherd. But for now, I'm Robert Ford for Jeff Blum saying so long. You've been listening to Astro Line, presented by Carbide Brewing Company, live from Pluckers Wing Bar and on the Houston Astros Radio Network.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.